Margaret, exciting news. I am about to have a new baby nephew. And believe it or not, this will be my 13th nephew.
Amy, you're ready to give up your amateur status. You're a pro aunt at this point.
Our family has seen a lot of babies. And as soon as they start standing or walking, I send them all a whole lot of Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 don't have ordinary diaper tabs. Instead, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your newly mobile little one.
Pampers Cruisers 360 offer a gap-free fit that is up to 100% leak-proof, crucial once your baby is quite literally up and at 'em. And that gap-free fit helps prevent your baby from taking off their diaper, a habit you do not want them to get into.
You can say that again. And Pampers Cruisers 360 just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we even elaborate on the need for that, friends? For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value. Oh, we're not doing Spanx anymore, guys. We're not doing Spanx anymore.
What fresh hell?
Laughing in the face of motherhood.
I am Grand Bray Curious.
With Margaret Aples.
And Amy Wilson.
I was shushing the COVID out of the room with a towel.
A podcast that solves today's parenting dilemmas.
So you don't have to.
You bump knees? Where do they do this?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to What Fresh Hell. This is Amy.
And this is Margaret. Friends, you're going to be amazed. But before we start talking, we're going to do our new bit mailbag. And we're not going to forget this time. And then 5 minutes in, be like, oh, no, wait, mailbag. We're starting with mailbag, guys.
This week, Betsy from Colorado wrote to us. Betsy says she introduced the show to her friend Sarah. Now, anytime she reaches out to Sarah with struggles, Sarah replies back in all caps, quoting our episodes. We are all operating at a very high level, or perhaps at this point we are encountering everyone's worst coping strategies. Betsy's son has cancer, and in late November, early December, he relapsed. And Betsy's group of friends, she says, went in and got my husband and I Christmas gifts, knowing that that diagnosis pretty much ensured we weren't going to have mental capacity to buy each other anything for Christmas. Sarah got me and my husband a down blanket and coffee thermoses and a card that told me the only way to survive this, like all other winterings, was like a Danish baby. Every once in a while when the sun is shining, I'll get a text. Betsy, today is great Danish baby weather. Find some sunshine. What a nice friend. What a moving letter. Thank you for writing to us.
Thank you, Betsy and Sarah. And we're picturing you outdoors in your Danish baby wonderland all winter long. And we're also sending our thoughts and prayers for your son, of course, as are everyone listening to this. Take a minute. Send a good vibe out there for Betsy's son if you're listening.
So this week we're going to talk about the silver linings of this pandemic, I guess I would say, like the things we are never going to go back to because actually it turns out this way was better. There are a few.
Oh, there is a ton, actually. I mean,
there's a ton.
I don't even know that it's silver lining. I'm silver lining averse, basically, because, you know, that thing of like, oh, actually, it's great. Yeah, it's not that great, but there are certain things that we're never going back to, Amy, and that's going to be a relief.
Yes.
And I think there are small blessings, maybe not silver linings as much as like small wins. And they're the things that we will not be returning to, pandemic or no.
This topic came from Julie in our Facebook group. She posted this. What are you never going back to doing in the after times? She says, for example, I'm never going back to grocery shopping for myself or wearing regular bras. So we thought this was a great topic.
I love the after times. I have been using the term before times because now that we're almost a year into this, I'll say, oh, you know, last Easter, we blah, blah, blah. Last Easter, we did nothing because we were in a pandemic. So I'm like,
yes,
in before times Easter, we did this because it's too confusing to calculate the years because there's a lost year in there.
There's something very dystopian YA novel about like the after times, like the happening. And we don't need to say pandemic or COVID anymore. It's just that thing that happened that we all, right.
The thing that happened yes. in the before times and the after times. And we know what we're talking about. A lot of people voting for bras, Amy.
Okay. You know, it's funny. I want to hear more about the bras.
Danielle says my lounge bras were all in the wash and I had to put on a regular bra with an underwire. And OMG, there is no going back to regular bras. Danielle? Same. I had the exact same experience. I mean, one of the problems that we're having in the pandemic, right, is why do laundry? Normally, it's a lot of changing clothes. I'm like, I guess I'll just wear these same pants that I left by the side of the bed last night again.
I was a big fan of that before this, like laying out the clothes before you go to bed. And, you know, when you're home with little kids and kind of nobody saw you anyway, just putting the same clothes back on. Not indefinitely.
Well, you don't mean laying out your clothes like laying out clean clothes. I'm talking about just picking up the pants I took off from the floor.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I don't throw them on the floor. I lay them over a chair and then I put them back on in the morning.
Oh, yeah. No, I just step out and I'm like, oh, here's a convenient puddle of pants right where I left them. And I just put those back on.
My sister says it's the big lie, you know, when you're really stuck at home with little kids that you put on different clothes for the daytime. It's just helping yourself think there might be a difference between day and night.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, I've really committed. I'm pants with buttons are going to be quite a thing for me to revisit because... Yeah, I've given up on them, but I had this exact same experience. I don't do laundry, but the one problem is I run out of bra. So I like to wear a bra even, I know people are anti-bra. I like to wear a bra even, you know,
yeah,
when I'm home. I don't like the feeling of walking around without a bra. It's not my thing.
I don't like the look of me without a bra on. It's...
I don't even care about how I look. I just don't find it a comfortable experience. I'm a never nude, as we've talked about on the podcast. Maybe I'm very uptight, but I like to be tucked in tight. I don't know. I don't care for it. But I have committed to only non-underwire t-shirt bras. I feel that small-chested women would describe this as a bralette. And larger-chested women would describe this as a lounge bra.
Lounge bra.
Yes. So we're pro. I agree that any kind of restrictive garment, I just can't see ever being in my life again.
Yeah, like what about Spanx? The last time I wore Spanx was a year and a half ago now at this point, right? Year?
Yeah, I mean, the last time I wore Spanx was 10 years ago, probably. So that hasn't been a huge problem for me. But yeah, like restrictive clothing, not interested.
Do you think, I mean, will we go back though? Like if you're like walking around with your lounge bra and, you know, no Spanx at the meeting, and then like, can we all just agree? I feel like this will go better if we all agree we're not doing Spanx anymore.
Oh, we're not doing Spanx anymore, guys. We're not doing Spanx anymore.
Can we just like nobody ruin it for the rest of us?
I don't know. If you want to put a Spanx on for a wedding because you have a dress that lays better, I don't have a fight with you, but I think we should all, women folk especially, just dial it down from here on out. I'm at a very particular age for this. Like, I was already letting go of some of these things anyway. Like, I'm not, I mean, 15 years ago, I could pretty much pull off a great look at a wedding with enough, you know, tape and Spanx and heels. And so is it an age thing? I mean, no one's looking at me for what I'm wearing anymore. I'm ready to like, to transfer into my like hippie mama, you know, flowy garments, lounge bra look. I was ready to embrace it in the pandemic. A lot of my friends have stopped coloring their hair during the pandemic.
Oh, let's talk about that. Cause I'm so like grombre curious. Have you heard of this? This is a hashtag on Instagram, grombre, with people who are growing out their gray hair. You know what ombre hair color is?
I do.
It's sort of, you know, like, so there's grombre and it's like people who are growing out their gray and it actually looks good. And of course, the people who are fronting for it on Instagram tend to look fantastic doing it. I guess if you didn't look great doing it, you would just dye your hair. I have a lot of gray hair because it just runs in my family. I've been dyeing my hair since my 20s and I am grombre curious, but it gets to a point and then I'm just not brave enough. I got about 6 weeks in this time, thanks to the pandemic, and then dyed it.
Yeah, I haven't dyed my hair since the pandemic, but it's mostly because I just haven't been wanting to go to a salon. And I think I have an appointment next month. Like, I'm over it now. Listen, I think that you should do what makes you feel good. And what makes me feel good is lounge bras and having pretty hair. Like, that's my combination. It's like a, what do you call it? It's a mix and match plate, you know? And so I don't want to be full gray. And my hair is blonde brown.
You can grombre it pretty successfully.
I mean, a lot of people don't even realize that it's gray. It looks kind of blondish if I had it done correctly. Mm-hmm. But when I just like throw it back in a ponytail, I get like the springy grandma hairs in the front, and I don't care for that. I'm not ready, and I may never be. I mean, my mom maintained her hair until forever. And so I don't know that I would want to have fully gray hair, but I have a lot of friends who've done it and look great.
Well, I'll tell you what else I've learned during the pandemic, which is you think that like hair coloring is complicated, that it's a little messy, but it's like not a big deal. I've colored my hair now 10 times since the pandemic started. I just do it myself, or my daughter helps me paint the little part in the back. She's artsy. She's good with the paintbrush.
Well, she's also learning a skill, Amy. That's important. She's learning a trade, hairstyling.
And so it's, yeah, like, is it nicer to go read a magazine or look at your phone while somebody else does it? Yes. Is it like so impossible you just have to wait? No, it's not at all.
See, I do my hair with the foils, and I don't want to try that at home. I do the foils.
Oh, the foils. It's the thing and the thing.
I don't do a single process, so it's a thing. It's a thing and a thing.
It's a thing and a thing.
Let's move on to a topic we've already debated. We have put it out there. People have gotten back to us. What are we doing about the handshakes, people?
Oh.
Natalia said, handshakes, don't want those. And we agree that we don't want to go back to handshaking. I have suggested hands in front of the heart with no bow. And Amy has advocated for finger guns and winking.
Finger guns and a wink.
I don't think that's correct. I feel that that's not right.
We had a listener clap back that we shouldn't. We talked about elbow bumps, and this was on Instagram. Sorry, I forgot who you were, but I thought this was excellent to point out that if we're going to sneeze into our elbows, then elbow bumps are bad too.
No, I don't want elbow bumps. I don't want to raise my armpit to another human being. I don't want elbow bumps. It's just as bad as a handshake as far as I'm concerned. It's way too intimate, elbow bumping. I would rather do the knee thing that they do, you know, some places, like the knee bump.
You bump knees? Where do they do this?
Oh, you haven't seen it?
Like in the rainforest?
I don't know. There was like hashtag A way back at the beginning of the pandemic. People were like kicking each other in the calves, basically, to greet each other. I believe in China. It was, you would see people doing it online. I would rather that than the elbow bump.
Do we have to touch each other? I mean, I think like, you know, touch is nice, but I don't need a stranger touching me.
No, mine is a non-touching event. And both yours is as well. But finger guns, I just feel like there's too much bad history in the finger bumping lexicon to move forward with that.
If we are such strangers to each other that we need to indicate that with something physical, I don't know why that would have to involve touching.
I like hands in front of your heart because it says, that's what I do. Because I, in the course of the pandemic, have been at whatever, some series of events, and your instinct to kiss and hug and shake hands, it's very strong. And so I also find that the hand in front of the heart, like, hi, it's good to see you. While I understand it's a little namaste adjacent and problematic in that way, it also sends a signal there will be no touching, which I enjoy.
Hi, nice to meet you. Come no closer.
As do finger guns, to be fair.
Yeah. Stay back. That's what those, like, in a friendly way. Stay over there, dude.
Well, yeah, you're right. It's very like, I'm shooting you. Please don't approach.
I don't believe we have met. You're not touching me, though.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. Keep the suggestions coming, friends, because
we're working on that. I don't feel like we've solved that.
We clearly do not have an answer. Here's one that I really like from Andrea. No more wedding industrial complex. I love all the sweet, intimate weddings that happened. I'd love to see more of those.
Yes, I agree. My favorite Christmas card of 2020 out of the many, many, many that I received was a friend of mine, her oldest, got married, and their Christmas card was the bride's family and the groom's family and the bride and groom standing on the front porch of the house. Like, that was their wedding. They had, you know, six people at the wedding, their immediate families, the most beautiful photo, the most radiant couple, the most beautiful happy day. Like, I just loved that card so much in amidst all the like, well, didn't this year suck? Which my card was also like that.
In an adjacent category, Amy, we have kids' birthday parties.
That they can be joyous and small.
Again, I just think we've realized we don't. My daughter's birthday is on Sunday, and she's going to have an Among Us party where she and her friends play Among Us on Zoom. And it's fine. And then at some point, I was like, I'll go get cupcakes and drop them. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, find a treat in your fridge and we'll all sing happy birthday and we'll play some Among Us on Zoom. It's fine. And I would love to see, I mean, it's hard to say because I had a big wedding and maybe they're fun, but I do think that we should scale back on all of this crazy.
I mean, I have two weddings on my calendar for November. Not my own, obviously, like my cousin's and then somebody that my husband works with.
You have to get divorced between now and November to make your...
Guys, I'm renewing my vows and you're all invited in Hawaii. But two weddings in November and I am clinging to those like a life raft, like dancing, people, open bar, like we're going to do it. So I'm really looking forward to that. Oh. But there's an option available, which is on your front porch with your mom and dad.
I don't know. Yeah. And I'm out of wedding season right now. I'm between, my friends are all married and our kids are not getting married yet. So I'm kind of in a sweet spot where I go to like one super fun wedding a year, which is fine.
Yes.
And again, if this is the thing that brings you joy, great. But if you're just like slogging with like a wedding planner and like picking stuff that doesn't matter to you, this is a great time to be like, it's also okay to get married on my porch with my parents and my spouse.
That's the thing. Like everything that we thought was foregone and had to be a certain way, we're now realizing, well, it doesn't have to be that way. We just always did it that way. And I'm never going back to that.
Never going back. We'll be right back.
Amy, on this podcast, we try to always offer useful takeaways. And if you learn nothing else from us, learn this useful parenting lesson by Pampers Cruisers 360.
Pampers Cruisers 360 are the ultimate parent hack, the best diaper to use as soon as your baby starts standing or walking. Instead of ordinary diaper tabs, they have a unique 360-degree stretchy waistband that moves with your wild child.
Pampers Cruisers 360 makes it so easy to change your baby. Who probably doesn't stop moving just because they need a diaper changed? Just slide on to apply and away they go.
And fear not, parents. Pampers Cruisers 360 offers an up to 100% leak-free fit. And they just got even better with a new blowout barrier. Need we say more?
For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand. Download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers cash. Then redeem your Pampers cash for exclusive Pampers coupons, savings, and rewards.
Only redeemable via Pampers Club. Pampers cash has no cash value. More and more, you hear about the importance of electrolytes as part of staying hydrated because you need the sodium and the potassium, not just the water. And whether you're looking to hydrate during a workout, while traveling, or at the end of a long night, Sports Research Hydrate Electrolytes have got you covered with over 65 trace minerals, 7 essential vitamins, and coconut water powder.
Crisp and refreshing and without any sugar, this is hydration powered by Sports Research. They're little packets you can just grab and take with you to mix into your water bottle on the go. My favorite flavor so far, Amy, gotta be the cherry pomegranate.
Interesting. My high schooler likes the lemon lime, and she keeps a few handy in her backpack for days that she has practiced after school. These electrolytes have the sodium and the potassium that you need to go with it in the optimal ratio for daily hydration.
Visit sportsresearch.com and use code WHATFRESH at checkout for 50% off your purchase of Hydrate.
That's Sports Research, SportsResearch, sportsresearch.com, and use code WHATFRESH for 50% off your Hydrate electrolytes order.
Okay, here's something that is definitely better, and I'm never going back to the way it was, that at least half of our doctor visits can be telehealth. So much better.
Yeah, this should be like 90% of doctor's visits. Why didn't we think of this one before? Because
yes,
dragging oneself or one's child to the doctor for what is, I mean, I would say I've been to the doctor, you know, hundreds of times in my life, let's say dozens of times in my life, where it was, okay, we'll give them some Tylenol, it'll be fine. It's an ear infection.
Yes.
And there's no reason we can't be doing a lot of this stuff without taking kids places.
My daughter just had to start some physical therapy for her sort of like long COVID recovery. And anyway, we did one appointment. I had a schlepper across town. We live in New York City. So, you know, that's always a hassle. And then this physical therapist said to us, like, okay, now that we've met and I've assessed your baseline, we're going to do our next, you know, 16 appointments are going to be telehealth. I'm like, what? From our house, you know, she just has to call in and Zoom and do like her exercises with this woman every Tuesday afternoon. And I don't have to take her across town. I'm so excited.
And I live in suburban New York. The doctor is, you know, at most 10 minutes away. But my husband is from town outside of San Antonio in Texas, quite far out. And Amy says this, and I know her because she's from my husband's hometown, friend of ours. that she has been driving hundreds of miles to specialists because she's in a tiny town. So she's driving to the big city, which is probably 60 miles away, to go see a doctor. And that, why were we doing that? This seems like it makes so much more sense. There is stuff. I just had my yearly physical. I went in, I saw my doctor. We were masked, the whole thing. My husband had a scan for something the other day. There are things you have to go to the doctor for, but there are so many things you don't have to go to the doctor for.
I used to drive my daughter to Boston to talk about her migraine headaches. And yeah, it would be like, okay, well, let's keep it going like you're doing. And it was 5 hours each way.
Right. You just went to Boston. Yeah. Right.
There was an American Girl store nearby, which was always, you know, worth the trip in itself. But yeah, it was a hassle that we're not going to go back to anymore. And that doctor, P.S., doesn't need to be exposed during flu season to 40 different sniffling children per day. Maybe just the 10 that actually need to be seen. This is genius.
I'm going to say on a similar jaunt, Amy, that my family has been Zooming.
Yeah.
Once a week. And we do Sunday night cocktails, 6 o'clock at night. We do cocktails with the fam.
Is this kids too? I wanted to know who's on this call.
It's my dad who lives in Florida. My brother's in Chicago. My sister's in Los Angeles. My sister's in Brooklyn and myself. And then the kids play cameo roles. Well, my brother has grown kids. So those kids are in New Jersey and California. I mean, we're scattered all over the place. And the littler kids, my kids and my sister's kids, who are all 12 and under, they make cameo appearances. You know, they'll kind of run by. Did anyone see the football game? Or look at this new Fortnite dance I learned. And they make like light cameos. And every once in a while, my 12-year-old got into it for a while. He's like, I'm going to join for my own computer. But, you know, he kind of dominates the conversation about Fortnite. So we keep that a little under control.
Yeah.
But I will keep that going. And I think especially for my dad, who, you know, he travels a ton. He sees us in the before times, but it's just really nice to do once a week. And on my husband's side of the family, we also have been doing Zooming, and it's people we often get together with twice a year, you know, and it's really fun to have a weekly date. And did I already share my Zoom cooking tip for the holidays?
Yes, you did. Yes. And I forget who it was. Somebody in my family told me that they did it with their extended in-laws and really liked it. Go ahead. Tell everybody again.
So we basically just like opened a Zoom room and everybody kept a camera in their kitchen. And when they were cooking, you would walk in and you would look at the Zoom and one other person would be like cooking at their stove and you would talk like, oh, what are you doing? I'm making gravy. Or our green beans are going to have cashews this year. We usually do almonds, whatever it was. And so it was very laid back. It was just a way to visit. And my husband was frying turkey. So he was outside. He had his going. And I'm not saying, you know, we'll never travel anymore. This is how we'll do the holidays from now on. But it has been a nice way to really stay connected with family. And in some ways, we are much more, you know, especially like my nieces and nephews who we don't, you know, I don't call them on the phone. We don't catch up. Like, oh, it's nice to see where they live and what they're up to. It's been fun. I think we'll keep the Zooms going.
I think we need to lean in. At least in my family, lean in a little more. Like, it's starting to work better as we get sort of less formal about it. We are on the phone.
Yes. Oh, it's so key.
Right. So my husband called his parents the other night, and it was after dinner. And like, he had the phone set up kind of weird so you could like kind of see half of his cheek and then like the bowl of oranges on the table. It wasn't a well-placed Zoom. And again, like, the kids were walking by and, you know, I kind of said something and my mother-in-law was like, oh, hey, Amy. And I leaned into the frame. Hi. And, you know, we just kind of talked about whatever. And it wasn't the like Sunday church, everybody's to be in their pew at 10 a.m. staring at the camera and then not being able to think of anything to say. I think we've sort of done it less frequently and made it everybody has to sit here. And then it's just sort of sad because nobody has anything to say. But if you do it more and in a more relaxed drop by way, I don't know, the expectations are lower. And so the reward is higher.
Yeah. And I've done it with like my roommates from college. And you think, okay, we would never have just called each other randomly and said, let's get on a Zoom call and chat. But it's been, because Zoom has become a thing that everybody does now, it's been really, really nice. You know, we're in DC, Connecticut, California, and just to really catch up on what's going on with the four of us sitting around and having a beer, it was super fun. I'm for it.
I'll tell you, this is something that Zoom has been great for, something I will keep doing. My sister, who lives in Pennsylvania, found a sign language class online. And again, like she would have said, do you want to take this? Well, we couldn't have taken a class together because we live in different states. But even if, say, she was up the street 6 to 8 on Wednesday nights, like, I don't think so. I have 3 kids, right? But it's on Zoom. So she and I and my 18-year-old niece are taking this sign language class together on Zoom. And, you know, if I'm like finishing up the dinner for the kids, I can just turn my camera off and leave the, you know, mute myself, but leave it on. And I'm learning sign language with my sister and my niece. And then we have a Zoom separately where we practice what we're learning. And that would never have been possible for me if it was only in the real world. So I'll never go back to taking like adult learning class on Wednesday nights, you know, at the local college in person, because I was never doing that anyway, but I'll definitely keep doing it online.
Yeah. And this segues for us into working from home.
Yeah.
Jennifer says she's hoping her employer continues to allow the amazing flexible schedule they've been allowing. Been able to say, I'll get X, Y, and Z done this week rather than 9 to 5. Mm. Erica says never going back to full-time commuting. And I think that this is going to be really interesting to see how this develops. One of the things that I find is that I have a job that I do for an organization, and we've been putting together a project, and it's the kind of thing where in the before times, I would have been getting in my car, driving to the office, and then some of it involves stuff that's happening in New York City, getting on the train, going to meet with people, and we're doing it all via Zoom, and there is no reason we would need to be in the same room. I mean, it's such a revelation that their office is probably 25 minutes away from me, so it's not onerous. Jump over, it's a beautiful drive, go over there. The city is like, I'll go once a month and check in with people, but it's like I'm humping into the train and the subway and getting downtown, and it's so unnecessary. And I hope that for a lot of people, that their jobs are able to stay a little bit more flexible. My husband and I actually both worked from home before this started. So it's been interesting for us because we didn't
change. Yeah.
You know, we didn't have that big shift. But my husband, when he went remote at his company, because we moved back to New York and his company was in California, they were very reluctant about it. And they have been really happy to, basically when he went remote, you know, they changed over what they were doing in general so that everyone's kind of more remote because they saw, oh, we don't have to be doing this. We don't have to be like walking in at 9 o'clock and pouring ourselves coffee and sitting at desks.
Yeah. And I think that's why if we're going to go to a more remote thing long term, it has to be more what Jennifer's saying. Like you're not here at 9 and leave at 5 and you're kind of like getting your purse out on your desk by 4:45 because you're like out of here. You do these 8 things this week when you can do them. That's probably for many, many companies a more effective way for employees to work, too, in terms of productivity.
Yeah, I think it'll be really interesting to see. And I have a lot of friends who, you know, used to travel tons for work. Well, your husband used to travel tons for work.
A ton. So we talked about this. So like his example that we always talk about is he had to go to Santa Fe to pitch a business. So we live in New York City. So it was a day flying to Santa Fe, a day, you know, pitching the business and getting used to the time change, and a day flying home. So 3 days for the business. And his sort of takeaway is it is more useful for me to be in the room, like 15-20% probably more effective for me to be there in person saying you should do this than to do it over Zoom. But it's 3 days that I could be doing other things, right? Instead of 2 hours. So it doesn't, if you can have 5 more meetings in those 2 other days, then there's no question that this is usually the better way to do it.
Yeah, and that people can be responsible for their own time. And
you don't have to do the handshake thing. You don't have to come up with anything else. If we never leave, if we never actually ever meet anybody in person ever again, we won't have to do the handshake thing.
That will be really, really nice. And commuting, it does. I always used to say this about household appliances because I lived for many years in, you know, studio apartments, no dishwasher, no this, no that. But once you get it, it's very hard to go back. It's not hard to live without a dishwasher until you've had a dishwasher.
Yes.
It's just very hard to have had a dishwasher.
Yes.
And so I had an apartment for years without a dishwasher and I didn't really notice. I just washed my dishes and it was fine. No big deal. I'm also one person eating. But then I got an apartment that had a dishwasher. And the minute I saw it, I thought, well, I'm done. There's no going back now. Like now I'm going to be a person who needs a dishwasher. And I think that the pandemic has a lot of that. Like once you have stopped riding a train for 2 hours a day as a part of your daily life and like crushing your body onto a subway with like 250 other frustrated people.
Yes. Oh, God, I forgot about that.
I you know, worked in, right before we started the podcast, I had a job in the city. I was like, you know, getting on the train, there's nowhere to sit. Can I squeeze in there? You know, sitting in between two people, reading my phone, getting off, getting on the subway, crushing in. I mean, it's going to be really hard to want to do that again.
Yes, it is. Here's something I'm going to keep. I'm going to side with Sarah on this, that in the after times, I'm still going to wear a mask sometimes. To my shock, I have found out I'm not so much a Danish baby as a Danish walker. Like, I like being out every day in the cold, and I like to keep moving. I mean, I'm in New York City, so it's not like I have like a beautiful backyard to sit in. So I just go like walk around for a while. The mask is like, I'm warmer with the mask on. Hello, like my nice warm air keeps my face warm in the very cold. It's kind of nice.
I also have to say that hat, mask, and glasses, I like the anonymity. I live in a small town, and I like the people in my town, but there are, it's sometimes it's nice, especially, you know, I haven't brushed my hair and I haven't put any makeup on. I just put on a mask, hat, and sunglasses, and I'm basically the invisible man. Like, I can do my errands in complete anonymity, and there's something kind of nice about that.
It's like a kid's book about like three kitty cats in a trench coat, right? Is it that or is it a person? I can't tell.
Exactly. And it's just very freeing to think. And then, of course, what always happens is I run into people and then I'm saying hello to them and waving. And they're just like, that is the invisible man saying hello to me. I have no idea who that person is.
Isn't that crazy? My daughter's school had to go remote. They've been going successfully in person almost the whole year, which is amazing, with, of course, the masks and distancing, et cetera. Anyway, they just had to do online school for 2 weeks. She said she looked nothing like what this teacher, what my daughter thought she would look like, and the teacher the same thing.
That's funny.
So that's a little weird.
Yeah.
Not, you know, missing the bottom half of each other's faces, but not necessarily bad, just weird.
Yeah, that is. Not necessarily bad, just weird. A theme for the year.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
Margaret, I've been at the research again, looking into metabolic health and, more importantly, metabolic flexibility, which turns out is the key to improved energy levels, better sleep, better fitness, all the things. And I found out about all this because we got a chance to try Lumen, the first handheld device that helps you manage your metabolic health.
Lumen works when you breathe into it. If you do that first thing in the morning or after a workout, Lumen measures your metabolism by measuring the amount of carbon dioxide in your breath. It's science, people. That lets you see exactly what's going on in your body in real time.
Then you use Lumen's app to get tailored guidance to improve your sleep, your nutrition, even stress management. If you're interested in figuring out the effects of different sorts of foods on your body, Lumen is a really cool way to see what's actually happening as your body burns different fuel sources.
If you want to take the next step in improving your health, go to lumen.me and use Fresh to get $100 off your Lumen.
That is lumen.me. Lumen.me and use the code Fresh at checkout for $100 off.
Thank you, Lumen, for sponsoring this episode.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
Now, RSVPs in the COVID after times.
From the What Fresh Hell podcast.
Come join us for a fifth birthday extravaganza at the Disco Jumparoo Trampoline Park. Parental supervision is required, and we've reserved 4 full hours of jump time.
Yeah, we are totes not available for that event, but I am prepared to offer you a drive-by past your house where me and the kid wave to you for 1 full minute before throwing a present on your lawn.
First Holy Communion is upon us. We'll be having a service at the church, which should run about an hour and a half, and then a reception that will last way into the afternoon.
So I'd like to request the Zoom option.
It's my destination bachelorette weekend in Vegas, ladies. Woo!
Listen, if you want me there, you'll make it bra optional and sweatpants friendly.
Travel Soccer is back, and this year we'll be journeying to take on a host of challenging teams within a 150-mile radius.
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and stick with Wii Soccer. You should see my kid. He's incredible.
OMG, my boyfriend's electro dance metal band is playing at this club in the city at 11 p.m. on Thursday night, and you have to come.
No, I refuse. Will not be there. Never. This is never going to happen.
This has been RSVPs and the COVID Aftertimes
from the What Fresh Hell podcast.
All right, Amy, are we going back to the sports and activities? Molly says, got an email yesterday telling me registration is over for Little League, and it filled me with dread. And she's not wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I miss doing some of those things, but I am amazed how much I don't miss doing most of those things.
Our weekends now are sort of like, what are we doing this weekend? Like, nothing. Like, I look at my calendar and there's nothing on it where it used to be. We were prisoner to the ballet workshop, double rehearsal, and the travel soccer game an hour and a half away. It just, yeah, and it's all just gone. And I don't miss spending my weekends in parking lots.
I worry that I over don't miss it. So my kids are in Boy Scouts, and it was the Boy Scout ski day. So the Boy Scouts all meet at a ski place here and go skiing for the day. And we had bought tickets a long time ago. And then I realized, oh, wait, this is skiing where you can't go inside. Like, you don't go into the lodge. You have to be in your car, I guess, if you want to warm up. It's supposed to be a really, really cold day.
Oh, a nightmare. The only good thing about skiing is the fire and the lodge.
Right, the lodge and the hot chocolate. No, none of that was going to be happening. And so on Thursday night, and we had committed to spending the night in a motel the night before because I cannot get up early in the morning. I mean, talk about never going back. Like, I'm just like, I can't wake up to an alarm. It's too painful.
Yep.
And the tickets, you know, skiing is so stupid expensive. It makes me crazy. So we were a couple hundred dollars in on this day. It was the only thing we've done, you know, in months. But I sat down my husband on Thursday night and I said, I really don't want to do it. I don't want to go. I don't want to have a plan. I don't know what it was. It was a combination of worried about COVID and then just the idea of being cold. And it just seemed like a nightmare. And I desperately tried to convince my husband not to go. And he basically said, we're way too far into this thing to pull up stakes. We can leave early, but he said, I'm not going to not go. And we had the greatest time. The greatest time. Like,
oh, good.
We went up, spent the night in a motel that, you know, we just walked in with no contact with anybody. I aired it out with my towels. Like, I was shushing the COVID out of the room with a towel, which I believe the CDC is, you know, says that's exactly how it works.
That's good. Oh, that's good. I'm going to put that in my quiver, that arrow. I didn't know about that.
I was rinsing everything down, you know, whatever. And then, you know, skiing, for all that it's annoying, is a great all-day outdoor, all-family activity. My kids we don't know how to ski, but they kind of got the hang of it, and they were having a ball, and we ended up having a great time. And it was a little bit of a reminder to me that I have a little bit of an instinct of stay completely still and you will be relaxed, you know? And I've always been anti-activity, as anyone who listens to the podcast. I don't like to have six activities on a weekend, but I think it's bringing out a little bit of my like inner troll where I'm like, I like sitting on my couch indoors and I don't want to, in the after times, be so resistant to doing anything that I'm denying ourselves fun.
I was so expecting you to say that it was horrible in 10 ways. It's actually nice to hear that it was fun and good, because we've talked about this for all the saying, like, as soon as it's all clear, we're going to, you know, race outside and be jumping and hugging each other in huge parties. And of course, there isn't going to be no all clear siren. It's going to be the like, I guess if it maybe if you might and if you do this, and we're going to return to things slowly and probably pretty reluctantly. But it doesn't mean we should never do anything. It doesn't mean always like staying home under the blanket is better than going skiing.
I just think for myself, I need that perspective of don't be so worried about going back to things. Like, I feel like, I mean, skiing is the worst activity. They were so high maintenance. It's cold. And let me tell you, here's my advice about skiing, because Amy heard a earful with me about why we don't ski.
It's expensive.
Mostly because it's stupid expensive, but it's cold and then the boots hurt and then everyone's miserable. And my husband and I have a joke that the Bronx Zoo, which is our local zoo here, is where marriages go to die. Because whenever you're at the Bronx Zoo, it's just couples fighting. Like, everyone is miserable at the Bronx Zoo. And then David turned to me about halfway through the ski trip and he's like, oh, this is worse than the Bronx Zoo. Like, every couple is just like, where's her pole? I thought you had. Everyone's just fighting and miserable and cold. But what I really realized this time is the other times we've gone, my kids have been much littler. My kids are 8, 10, and 12.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great time to start skiing. And they're not going to be good skiers, you know, because the kids who started 2 are going to be great skiers. But there's no way we can afford to go skiing enough for them to be good skiers anyway. And so it just was like a revelation of, oh, if you wait until they can snap their own boots on, it's a lot easier than me like leaning over and screaming at my husband, would you help me with these boots? Where's the boot?
Like, yeah, like 3, you can wait a little while. And then 40 is too old to learn to ski. Take it from me.
Yeah, my mom learned at 40, and let me tell you, she was never that thrilled with it. Ashley says she's never going back to the amount of extracurricular activities they used to participate in, has really enjoyed the freedom from shuttling our kids to ballet, soccer, birthday parties. We're really going to embrace saying, no, I can't attend your birthday party, way beyond COVID.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to that stuff. I mean, my kids are old enough that missing sports seasons is kind of heartbreaking. You know, it's been the hardest part of it, is not being able to do those things. They're not, you know, it's a little bit different than Little League, like, we're the dinosaurs, yay, and we have, you know, donuts when we're done. They're a little more serious about it. And so for them, it's been very hard. For me, it's been easy because I don't have to hang out in the parking lot all weekend.
I think it's been really nice to see, though, the break from things that are passions are different than things that are activities. And I think that that's the break where you're going to figure out, okay, ballet is something we're dragging people to because it's an activity, as opposed to, you know, my kid has a passion for gymnastics and we've kept going masked and distanced and all the things, but he's kept going to gymnastics the entire time because gymnastics is a big thing for him. It's something that he's very passionate about, but I don't miss at all the like brownie troop stuff, you know? And my kid has continued Boy Scouts and that's done by Zoom. And I think it's a good time to say, what didn't fall away? What is still a passion? Okay, that you can go back to, but you don't have to go back to like the kid needs to take 2 after school classes every week forever.
That every void is to be filled. This happened to me just last night. I was in our den and we have, it's called like an electric piano. It's like a synthesizer, but it's a pretty nice one. And 2 of my 3 kids had piano lessons for a while. They went away when the pandemic started. And now, of course, they're available over Zoom because everybody has pivoted. And I saw the piano last night sitting there with nobody touching it. And I thought, well, there's no like, we could just do the Zoom thing. There's no reason not to. And if they're not doing these other activities. And then I just had that moment. And then that second thought of like, or we could not, or I could get rid of the piano because it just sits there and nobody touches it and they don't want to. And just because we could do that doesn't mean that we have to.
Yeah, I think or I could just not is a good theme for the after times.
Yeah, or I could just not is something.
Maybe you could, but maybe you could just not.
Right. I could wait for them to say that they want to do it, right? And rather than say like, I know what I can do with this free 90 minutes. Let's drop a piano lesson in there.
Right. Let's fill it.
Yeah.
I want to touch on what Laura says because I thought it was really interesting. She says, my special needs kid is thriving at school with smaller class sizes, no homework, less changing of teachers and kids. I don't think this will last, but it was a good transition year for him without an aide. And I think for a lot of people, it's been a really good reckoning on how your kids learn.
Yes.
And sometimes negative. And for me, with 3 kids, it's been a mixed bag. I've got a kid who could clearly do Zoom school forever and would be fine, is very organized, is just easily engages with stuff. And then I have a kid for whom this time has brought out probably, you know, it's just shown a bright light on the things that he struggles with most, you know, because it's become, I had someone say this to me and it really opened my eyes. It's not college. They're not college. My kid's 10 years old. He's not ready to have a backpack where he remembers like, okay, I have to bring my history folder and my laptop and my charger. And then I don't need my art folder today because I don't have art today. Like that's a college level skill. It's at least a high school level skill of
yes.
Making sure that you have the right thing for the right activity and changing that 8 times a day. And it's been hard for my guy who's not organized. And, you know, it's been a good chance to work on it and let's make a checklist and he checks it off. And, you know, but I do think that watching and seeing how your kids have learned this year is a great thing to carry forward.
We have a whole episode about that, what this has taught us about our kids. I'll put the link in the show notes for this because you're right. There are things to take away for the positive and the not so much.
Yeah. And on the flip side, I know a lot of people with special needs kids who are missing services and their IEPs aren't getting met. And so it's not that like this has been a great time for special needs kids. It's been, if you know one person in the pandemic, you know one person in the pandemic, including each of your kids are handling it differently. But I thought it was an interesting perspective.
My seventh grader, something that she'll probably never go back to, is to come to me for help with her homework or even her older brothers, because they've gotten into this easy sort of, you know, group Zoom thing. Talk about, like you were saying about, like, let's make the turkey and we'll have a drop by Zoom. They kind of have like a drop by Zoom for homework, and they kind of come in like, what did you get for number two? And what's this? And what pages do we have to read for English? And she has this sort of community. It's like they have a study hall almost, and they've created it, and she's getting work done with so much less checking with me. And I can hear her like giggling in there too. Like, it's kind of good. And I think that she will keep doing things that way even when she's back at school in person.
It's funny that you say that, because the other day, my seventh grader, I heard a phone ringing. He was supposed to be doing homework, and I'm kind of going to, who's on the phone during homework time? And I realized he was calling his teacher through his computer at 6 o'clock at night. I thought, that's crazy. But, oh, you know, is the test on this part or this second? Whatever. He asked her two questions and then got right off the phone. And I thought, you know, I don't know that the teacher needs to be available, or maybe it was a hotline. I don't know what he was calling, really, but it was a teacher explaining something to him. And yeah, it's another good way to keep us out of it. And that leads me to Pamela, which I think a lot of what we've learned is, she says, hopefully never going back to being cruise director for my kids. Free of hovering, my almost 6 and 2 year old boys have taken down our mantle decor and are currently redecorating the living room. A year ago, this would have been maddening, but now I have more patience. Don't get me wrong, the messes are still annoying, but never bother a happy quarantined person has become never bother a happily occupied kid. House be damned.
Oh, yeah. Well said.
I was having a conversation. I was a guest on another podcast talking to a woman who runs a progressive school, which basically means it's play-based learning, project-based learning. And she was saying, and we were having a discussion about how the pandemic has been great towards moving people towards this idea of let kids discover their own play. It doesn't always have to be like, okay, it's 1 o'clock, we'll go to the pool, then we'll meet friends for a picnic, then we'll come home, then we'll all play Scrabble. Like that. We've expressed it sometimes on the podcast as what's on the other side of boredom. But there is, even for my bigger kids, my oldest kid who, you know, if given his way, would play Fortnite for 7 hours a day, has really discovered drawing, which led him into comic books. He's always been my reluctant reader, and he's reading, you know, comic books all night. And it's just took downtime to discover these things.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's easy, because it's very annoying to be trapped in a house with unoccupied kids, but I hope that what I carry the most into the after times is the kids are all right. They don't need a million activities to be the right kinds of kids, and that, you know, letting them explore and discover, even if it's messy and annoying, is part of my job. And as much as possible, even if it's cold, that should happen outside.
Yeah, or at least happen offline. Right. Like the messy and annoying is what we have to put up with when they put the screens away, and maybe some fighting and maybe some boredom and maybe some whining. But that's worth it, because the redecorating the living room with what used to be in the mantelpiece, like that's what they're going to remember when they're 25. Remember that time we, you know, I used to make carnivals out of all my Fisher Price stuff with my brother. That's sort of my most salient memory of childhood, not like when I watched the Brady Bunch that time. So
that was also awesome. If it was the one where Marsha got hit in the nose with a football.
Sometimes I'm not sure if it happened to me or to Marsha. My memories are so jumbled up. But yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of work for us. We can't just like all stay home and let them play Fortnite 24/7. We do have to sort of encourage the growth comes when the screens are put away, and there's a little bit of work there for us. But I'm not going back to you have to have a piano lesson.
Yep.
Maybe we can just stop it, like turn that off now and figure it out.
Yeah. I want to just completely finish on Dina's, who I know in real life. She's never using a curling iron, thinking of bronzing mine and using it as an antique relic on the mantle.
It reminds me of those Facebook things like, if you know what this is used for, then you're too old. That'll be a curling iron and we'll all know.
Yes. And I just love it. It's like we used to heat our hair with these things to make them into special shapes.
And I think, yeah, it's a great time to make like Elsa and let it go, people. The, you know, that thing that smushes your eyelashes to make them curl up. Yeah, I mean, that's gone. Let's get rid of a lot of this stuff. Put it on the mantle and bronzer.
All right. We want to know what you guys are never going back to. And there's a bunch of ways you can tell us. You can go to our Facebook page and join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/whatfreshhellcast.
And you can find us pretty much anywhere out there. TikTok, Twitter. We're on YouTube.
All the things.
All the What Fresh Hell content. So just Google us. Find us wherever your preferred social media place is. And please go and leave us a rating and review because it helps new listeners find the podcast.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week, guys. Thanks for listening.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And this is our new podcast, Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. What happens when your creative spark just seems to disappear? Gone.
Poof. Bye.
See ya. What happens when life gets in the way of your creativity instead of nourishing it? That's what happened to Molly and me. We felt like the thing that drove us creatively stopped working and impending doom had in fact impended.
Totally. So we decided to do something about it. And that was steal ideas about getting unstuck from the most creative people we can find. We talked to guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
And we're not just talking Bob Ross type paint on paper artists here, though we talk to them too. We're talking to actors, creative directors, dancers, and people who are working hard to be their best creative selves in a world that can sometimes feel real uncreative.
We all have something to teach each other, so let's steal their ideas together.
Join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom. Pandemics, school calendars,
world events, lack of sleep. Oh, get out of their life gunk.
And let's get back to your best creative self. Subscribe to Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
You're not going to want to miss an episode.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly, because sometimes life sucks. Unstick.